Hello and welcome back to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas. We are on the Old Testament side of Scripture with a major and minor prophets overview. It's like our verse-by-verse Bible study series, but Pastor Ben covers more scriptures each time, a little less in depth, but just as much application. So with that, on today's show...
I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is not even go there. Just abide in Him. Just to be safe. Abide in Him. The word abide means remain in Him. Stay close to Him. Stay real close to Him. This is where you need to be. There's no reason to tiptoe and flirt with the world and be like, oh, maybe I should go back, you know? And the world's over here saying, come back, I missed you. We had so much fun. No, we didn't. We never had any fun. Well, we had fun in the world for a minute, but it was always consequences.
In Christ, I can do all things.
Thanks for joining us today here at In Christ Radio. We are moving right along in our Major and Minor Prophets Overview series. We come to chapter 33 in the Major Prophet Book of Ezekiel, learning that God is calling Ezekiel to be a watchman, to share to the people what God has showed him, and that if he doesn't, then God is going to hold him accountable. Now, when we read Scripture, we must also allow Scripture to read us and discern how we can apply it to our lives. But we need to be cautious and not mix up application with interpretation. Interpretation of Scripture never changes. However, the application for our lives does, giving us a responsibility to share the gospel when prompted by the Holy Spirit, understanding that other people's salvation is not in our hands based on if we share the gospel or not, but rather a heart check on ourselves and if we are obedient to what God asks of us. Now, Ezekiel's circumstance is different than ours completely, so let's find out how and join Pastor Ben in Ezekiel chapter 33 with the lesson titled, Watchmen on the Wall.
But I can exercise the gift of prophecy, not that I'm foretelling God's word, because I already have the canon of Scripture, but I'm going to tell forth God's word in a teaching way. I have times will exercise the gift of prophecy just using and telling forth God's word. You're like, oh, okay. Ezekiel, I made you a prophet. Now, verse 8, notice what he says. When I say to the wicked, oh, wicked man, you shall surely die, and do not speak or warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Ezekiel's like, okay, I surrender. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked, now the wicked here means ungodly. If you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Okay? What's he saying? He goes, man, if I announce that some wicked people are sure to die and you fail to tell them to change their ways, you say you didn't say anything and they die in their sins, I'm going to hold you responsible, Ezekiel. Man, being a prophet, I don't know if I'd want to be a prophet back in these days. You know? He says, but if you warn them to repent and they don't repent and they die in their sins, he goes, you're still saved, Ezekiel. That's on them. Now notice verses 10 and 11. He says, therefore, you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, well, then how can we live? You go, Ben, what's he saying? He's saying, if our rebellions and our sins are weighing us down and we're wasting away, he goes, how can we go on living? I mean, how can we do this? Tell them. So he says to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Notice what he says. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Now, this is an amazing verse. Go ahead and highlight this verse, underline it. Why? Because I want to chat quickly about two things. You go, what are they? I want you to notice, number one, that God, the Lord, takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You understand that. Wicked is ungodly, okay? It means guilty one. It means guilty of a crime, hostile towards God, wicked, guilty of sin. That's what it means. And I think it's very, very important that you and I realize that God is not sitting there going, oh, I can't wait for, and you make an underline, for him to die. And you and I say that. And when someone evil dies, we need to realize that God loves everyone the same. He loves people. He died. He died for the Jewish people. He died for the Gentile people. He died for the Arab people. He died for people. And he doesn't take any pleasure. God is not giggling up there in joy when his enemies are killed. He still loves them. The second thing the Lord says here is turn from your evil ways. He's actually asking them to do what? To repent. To repent. The Lord is saying, I want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. So they can live. You see, there's a underlying point here. I don't know if you can catch it or not. You go, what's that? The Bible here is teaching what we call choice. You have a choice. In other places, it talks about predestination. Predestination versus choice. You go, well, what's the difference? When the Bible teaches predestination, it talks about no matter what you do, you have been predestined to heaven. God has chosen the elect. You're part of that. Amen. And he talks about predestination. And at Calvary Chapel, when it comes to predestination, we teach it exactly how the Bible talks about. But there's also free choice. Free choice, yeah. And what he's saying here and he's alluding to is that believers can walk away from their relationship with God. They can walk away. They have a choice. They have a choice. And so what he's saying is that, look, your choice is to turn, come back to me. Come back to me. And what we need to understand is the Bible teaches both, but right here God is saying, turn, repent. He's not saying, oh, well, you've been predestined. You're already taken. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and go about your way. He's saying, I want you to make a choice to follow me. Now, I believe that we are both predestined and we have a choice. God never forces himself on you. He says he gives you a choice. And that's when you opened up your heart, invited him inside. When you said yes to him. You go, what happens after that? Well, basically, you're part of the elect. Because God knows that you're going to turn your heart towards him. He knew that. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, son of man, say to the children of the people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day he sins. Verse 13, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness, and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works will be remembered. But because of his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. If he turns from his sins and does what is lawful and right, if he is wicked, he restores the pledge, give back what he has stolen, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Look at verse 16. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right, and he shall surely live. Now, this is deep. This is deep. Why? Because the word righteous means right with God. Okay? And what Ezekiel is saying is this. He says, Ezekiel, tell the Israelites that if someone good sins, the good he has done will not save him. He says, if an evil person stops doing evil, he won't be punished. If a good person starts sinning, his life will not be spared. Now, if we read it just like this, you and I will be like, well, forget it. I'm done. Because I've sinned. I've messed up. I don't know what you're saying here. Here's what you need to write down here, guys. Here's what I need you to hear. Ezekiel is not talking about, oops, I sinned. Oh, I messed up. Please forgive. He's not talking about the occasional, we blow it. Do we not blow it? You go, amen. He's talking about a lifestyle. So he's saying, you used to walk with God, you loved him, when you sinned, you repented, and you confessed that, and you kept going. He said, the lifestyle you chose, you decided that you're going to walk away from him. And that's you habitually. He says, listen, if you do that, that's your choice, and you won't be saved. This is hard. This is tough, because I know people who have been walking with God that are not walking with God right now, and their lifestyle, habitual, They're choosing to be disobedient to the word of God where once they were obedient to the word. And this is the, and he goes, now, he goes, if the wicked were to repent and change, he says, they'll be saved. In the same way. Now, you'll hear people say, once saved, always saved. But I don't think you can lose your salvation as a believer, but I think you can walk away from it. I think you can make an honest choice to leave your faith at the door and go back into the world. Now, somebody would go, Pastor, well, that means they were never really saved. I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm just telling you, this is what the text jumps out at me. We're not going to have a big theological discussion. You might be right. At the end of the day, you might be right. And I'd be like, well, they were never saved. Okay, when I get to heaven, we'll have that talk. But right now, I think there are many people who can and do walk away from their walks with God. Whether they were saved or not, at the beginning, only God knows who's saved. You know the best way to put this to bed is just abide in Him. Just abide in Him. Like, don't test the waters. Oh, I'm going to try the world. It's a little cold. Oh, don't even go there. You know, John chapter 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is not even go there. Not even go there. Just abide in him. Lord, just to be safe. Abide in him. The word abide means remain in him. Stay close to him. Stay real close to him. This is where you need to be. There's no reason to tiptoe and flirt with the world and be like, oh, maybe I should go back, you know? And the world's over here saying, come back, I missed you. We had so much fun. No, we didn't. We never had any fun. Well, we had fun in the world for a minute, but it was always consequences. You guys know that. No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to remain in the Lord. Verse 17. Yet the children of the people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Did you ever hear that? You know what they're saying? It's not fair. Why? No. But it is their way, which is not fair. When the righteous, that means right with God, turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity. Guys, circle the word for iniquity. Why? Because iniquity is knowing the line, knowing the consequences. You know all, and you go, that's iniquity. Okay? Harmatia, sin is missing the mark. Trespasses is like, oh, I didn't realize this was a sin. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Iniquity is going, I know this is wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, because it brings just satisfaction for the flesh. Ooh, that's bad. That's wrong. Okay, Reina, don't look at me because I'm going. Iniquity. Hey, you guys remember? Jesus, do you remember? He says that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. What's a bruise? It's internal. So when we commit iniquity, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. We can't just go, I'm sorry, Lord, I just made a mistake. He goes, we've actually, in our hearts, wanted to sin against God. I'm going to come back over here. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair? O house of Israel, I will judge every one of you according to its own ways. Verse 21, and it came to pass in the 12th year of captivity in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, the one who escaped Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. Now, what you need to remember, 2.5 years after he finally got there, the one escaped, so he comes in, right? And what did he say? What's his message? What's his rap? The city's been captured. So he leaves Jerusalem when it's being taken, but it takes him 2 years. Go back and do the math, okay? On the 12th year, so it was the 10th year when he was prophesying this is going to go down. Now it's 2 years. And all of a sudden, guess what? The people go, oh, wait. Ezekiel, come here. When did you say this? He goes, remember I told you? And you guys wouldn't listen anymore? You guys turned a deaf ear? Now I have proof. What's the proof? Oh, the city's fallen. Guys, I was there. It was horrible. Your family, they're dead. They're slain all over. The judgment of God is bad. I barely escaped to come and tell you. I barely escaped. The city's been captured. Verse 22, now the hand of the Lord had been upon me that evening, so the Lord has already been telling, before the man came who had escaped, and he, notice, and he opened my mouth so that he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no longer mute. Now, it could be that Ezekiel was mute. I mean, he couldn't speak, but I think it's more of, now they're listening. So I'm speaking again. Now the people can hear, hey, listen, this thing is true. This thing is true. If I were to preach here Ezekiel 38 and 39 and told you that Iran was going to attack with Russia and all this coalition, and you go, oh, Ben, please, people have been saying that forever. And then you wake up in the news and you find that a coalition has already attacked Israel, you might go, oh, not that what Ben said was true, but that God's word is true. And so now your ears would be open. Oh, Ben. And the church would be packed and we go, what's going to happen next? And I'd say, we're going to pray. We need to be ready. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. But here's my question. I wonder if the coming months, days, people are going to continue to turn a deaf ear to the things of God. But when things get so bad, they're going to open up their hearts to the truth. In the United States, I can't tell you where it was, but I can tell you that there was a man teaching a group of all kinds of people, Americans involved, and they were teaching him Farsi. And they were teaching him Mark Bar Israel. You know what that is? Down or death to Israel. But it wasn't enough. They were saying Mark Bar America. You go, they're not listening to the word of God. And then they started chanting from the river to the sea. Oh, I don't know what that means. Yeah, you do. You're deaf. And I wonder, when the judgment of God comes, not that we want you to go through that, please, because God still loves you, but I hope you open your ears and hearts before it's too late. Verse 23, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was the only one who inherited land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood, you lift your eyes towards idols, you shed blood. Should you possess the land? You rely on your own army, your own sword, you commit abominations, you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? It goes a little bit deeper. Verse 27, thus says the Lord, as I live, surely those who are in ruin shall fall by the sword. The one who is in the open field I will give to the beast and devour them. And those who are the stronghold in the caves, they shall die of pestilence. And I will make the land most desolate, and arrogant strength shall seize, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord, and I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. You know what he's saying? He's saying judgment is coming, and if you think you can run from it, if you think you can run from Nebuchadnezzar, he goes, that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, you're going to run to the caves and beasts are going to eat you. Or you're going to think you're going to be safe over here and pestilence is going to get you. And you'll know that I am the Lord. And what he's saying is that, man, you don't have to go through this. He says, repent and come back to the Lord. Now, I want you to think futuristic. There are so many people that don't have to go through the tribulation if they'll just repent and come back to the Lord. Verse 30, but as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls of the doors and of the houses. Guess what they're talking? They're talking about the pastor. They're outside. They're talking about the pastor. All the church is going, ooh, did you hear what pastor said? But it's a good thing, okay? So it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You go, what are they talking about? They're speaking to one another, and everyone is saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word that is coming from the Lord. So they're saying, hey, you got to come to church. You guys got to come to church. You got to hear this guy. He's preaching the truth. You got to come and hear this guy. Come hear the word of the Lord, right? Isn't that what we do? Notice what happens. So they came to you as a people, as people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song. You preach really well, one who has a pleasant voice and who can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Can you imagine? Isn't that really just showing what our churches are like today? Oh, well, we'll hear this guy. Oh, man, this is great. Oh, I just love the music. And then when the pastor says, hey, it's time to repent, it's time to get right with God, they're going, la, 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 la. You know, they're just not hearing anything. They don't want to do them. They don't want to do what God is telling us to do.
And when it comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Among them. Guys, as we close, there are several things to ponder. Here's what I want you to do. Could we do this? Could we ask the Lord right now to be filled with His Holy Spirit? And you go, why? So that we can be bold in sharing our faith. So that we can be sensitive. So when the Lord tells us, hey, not that we're going to be condemned, but that we love people. That we love people. The second thing, now listen to me, look at me. We need to do a heart check. You go, why? I just want to make sure we're abiding in Him. I don't want to be flirting with the world or wondering. I just want to be abiding in Him, man. And maybe you're here today, and I know it's a Wednesday night, but maybe you're here today and you've been over here. And God is knocking on your heart and He's saying, hey, you need to repent and come back to me. Judgment is coming, and I don't want you to be a part of it. And last but not least, if we can ponder before we're dismissed, if we can ponder and make sure that we're doers of the word and not hearers only. You go, what do you mean? Let's ask the Lord to let the scripture read us. You go, what do you mean? Where are you in the text? Where are you? My prayer is that you are the righteous and that you're walking with Jesus and that you love Him and you're sharing Him. And man, there's joy in your heart and there's peace and your sins are forgiven. But if you're not, and you came here today, I have such good news for you. We are still under a time of beautiful grace and God is standing with His arms open wide saying yes to Him. And so if there's any doubt in your heart, come and pray with me. As we go into worship, come and pray. Come and say, Pastor, I just want to make sure. I just want to know. I'm going to be over here. And if you don't, that's cool. That's cool. Just make sure you're okay. Father, thank you for your word and the truth in your word. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for chapter 33. We love you so much. We're excited for what you have for us next week. But I pray, Lord, this is serious. I am sounding the alarm. If we are not right tonight, let us be right. In the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas. He is teaching us through the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament. This lesson is from our Wednesday night study over the major prophet Ezekiel. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in this verse-by-verse overview of the Old Testament prophets. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. Click on the prayer request link, fill it out, and submit it, and one of our prayer warriors will get to work. If you are in Lubbock or the surrounding areas, I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. We are located in Lubbock, Texas at 4218 Boston Avenue at Calvary Chapel Church. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. We hope this episode has encouraged you to love God, love people, and live radically. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com,
simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. That address again, In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless. In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have